Hello and welcome to the Henrietta Christian Fellowship Podcast. The notes for the sermons featured here can be found at our website, henriettacf.org. Also, on Android or iOS mobile devices, you can find them on the YouVersion app. Just click on Search for Live Events and enter our zip code 14543. Without further ado, here's this week's sermon.
In this series on seeing Jesus, most of the preaching you'll hear in your American Christian life will be about what Jesus said, which is good. I mean, I'm glad for the opportunities that we have, because I mean, Jesus said powerful things. In fact, I wouldn't know I was saved by just watching him. I mean, I'd have to hear what he said. All right, but there are certainly, because the Bible spends so much time with this, showing us Jesus and what he's doing. Oftentimes, there are no words other than an explanation of what we see him doing. And I believe that we're supposed to receive something from that. There's something powerful that God intends to do in and through us by showing us Jesus. And today, we're just going to do Jesus praying, all right? And, you really want to get this thing about Jesus praying, all right? And you want to get this thing about Jesus praying to the place where it's Jesus praying and I pray, all right, to be a person of prayer. And it goes back, in my thinking at least, to somebody said at Elam a long time ago when I was going to Bible school there. I always think it was Costa Dare, because he said so many things that impacted me, but I think this was another one of the teachers there. But one day he got up and he's talking about people who are trying to accomplish ministry without praying very much. It was just, basically it was about planning, it was about doing, it was about fundraising, and very little prayer was going into these things. And he said, if you think you can beat the devil at the devil's own game using the devil's own tools, you're a bigger devil than the devil. That you're going to have to, access God. You're going to have to get a hold of God in this place called prayer. That this is, when I'm trying to build a friendship, like I will reach in my wallet and I'll pull out one of my calling cards, and they call them calling cards because when you get one, you're supposed to call the person, I hand it to the person, and I say, here's my contact information. You can call me anytime. The funny thing in America is that invariably they never contact you, and then they come to you with this kind of little complaint and they say, well, you didn't call me. And they say, well, I didn't want to bother you. If I was concerned about you bothering me, I would not have given you my phone number. Okay? God calls upon us to pray, right? And I think sometimes, there's this kind of reserve. I don't know what it's all about, but let's just see Jesus as he prays, all right? Let's just see him, all right? Because first of all, it's an amazing thing in itself that he prayed. That he's God. But, the Trinity, which is a mystery beyond our comprehension, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, eternally, coexistent, in the Godhead, these three. And, it's an intriguing thing, that when we say our God is love, we're saying something that nobody else can really say, because our God is love for eternity, because there was never a time when God was alone in the true sense of that. There was also always fellowship within the Godhead. Right? This is not in the notes, this is free. All right, so anyways, and so there's this communication, this communion that occurs between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right? And Jesus being on earth continues it. All right? That there's no breakdown in this communion, this communication between Father and Son because of being in this world. All right? He comes down. And, and the first thing you want to observe is that he prayed alone. Right? He didn't always pray alone, but in most cases here, when it talks about Jesus praying, you're going to see him praying alone. All right, Matthew 14:23. And after he had sent the crowds away, Jesus was, so often in the presence of crowds. I mean, a small group was like three, an average group was 12 or so, but just crowds. But after he sent them away, he says, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. And, this is one of the things, for me, I like being around people, right? You know, you probably don't know something that my family can tell you, which is that if my wife goes out somewhere in the evening, you'll find me like hanging out at Wegmans, right? I like to be around people, you know. So I mean, if she's gone for like a day and a half or something like that, I mean, oh my goodness, you know, I mean, I'm probably gonna have to go shopping for a jar of pickles that I'm having a hard time finding or something like that, just because I love being around people. For me, being solitary is not a natural state. Now, I mean, I know people that for being solitary, that's what they're looking for. Leave me alone. Go away. You know, so that I can be by myself. I love being by myself. That is not me. Okay? All right. And so, you know, this whole thing of being solitary enough, you know, to really get this time with God. I mean, I need a door. I mean, I need the prayer closet. I mean, I need the place where I can shut the door and make the break and, you know, leave the phone out there, you know. I mean, because now you got this electronic way of connecting with people, and, you know, and it's just, you know, so, but if you're going to have a prayer life, if you're going to have a relationship with God at all, right, you're going to have to break that thing and get to the place where you can be solitary. Ukrainske samotnie, you know, alone. Alone, you know, in Ukrainian, you know, I know this word. I had to learn this word, you know. And so Jesus prayed alone, all right? You know, to have a relationship, you know, what is it to have, you know, we talk about relationships, you know, but I'm going to encourage you that one of the things it takes to have a relationship is time. Okay? And time wins. You know, I mean, the people you spend the most time with will be the people you feel closest with. And so this thing of prayer, and there are times when you hear it, Jesus, you know, and we're going to look at some of them, he spent all night praying. And you're thinking, I have a hard time spending 15 minutes praying. You know, how does he spend all night praying? I would only say, come and see. You know? You won't find out unless you come and see. Because I haven't found the instruction on how to do that. There's no 1, 2, 3 in the Bible about how to spend all night in prayer. But come. You know, take him at his word. See what he's doing and do it. All right? So, Jesus also prayed publicly. Not for show, but to build people's faith. All right? And I see this place where you know, Lazarus, you know, is dead. All right? His friend. And he purposely waited until he was dead to come so he could raise him from the dead. You know, and anyways, and so there's this whole thing that goes on afterwards, you know, as we're building up to this time when he's going to call Lazarus out of that tomb. And it says, so they removed the stone. Then Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I think this is now Jesus reporting back on it, because he's referring in the past tense. He says, I knew that you always hear me, but because of the people standing around, I said it so that they may believe that you sent me. Right? There are times when, you know, I know people that have grown up in traditions where we don't pray out loud. We don't pray for other people to hear us. I do not pray for other people to hear me. That's not the purpose. But there are times when people need their faith built up. All right? And so those out loud prayers become very, very important. All right? I'll take you to my mechanic who I prayed for. And I've told you the story a little bit before, but I asked him, I'm standing there, and I talk to you about this moment when the Holy Spirit is just nudging you. You know, he's got you in this situation, he's nudging you. And I'm knowing that the Holy Spirit is telling me, pray for this guy, pray for him. Now, here's somebody who's telling me, I'm not religious, I don't believe in God, blah, 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 blah. But he's also told me that he's got a disease that he's likely to die from, and I'm standing there, and I'm getting this, you know, in the spirit, but I mean, it's just, I'm getting this nudge. And so I finally, you know, said, would you let me pray for you? And he looked at me like in shock, you know. I mean, and you know, we have a good friendship. You know, I spent a lot of time with him. If I'm going for mechanical work, I mean, I know I got at least an hour of conversation, all right? And I mean, but that's good. All right, because an hour of conversation is not a hard thing for me. Being shut up for an hour, now that'd be a challenge, okay? But talking for an hour, not a hard thing. All right, so that's been a good thing. And he looked at me kind of shocked, and he goes, well, I don't know how this works. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. That moment would not have come if I had not spent hours and hours and hours just talking with him while I worked on my car. He said he doesn't like to talk about spiritual things, and every time I come, he brings it up. And once we've agreed that I agree, you don't like to talk about this, now I can talk about it. Right? I don't know. The number of times I found that to be true. You know, it's the person who has the sign on the door that says, no solicitors. Because they're a soft touch, they'd buy anything at the door. That's why they put the sign there. Anybody who's has an easy time saying, nope, does not put a sign on the door that says no solicitors, okay? Because they can take care of that just fine, all right? So when people say, well, I'm not comfortable talking about spiritual things, oftentimes it's because they really are curious about spiritual things, but they're just, probably what it is, they don't like people, like, you know, stuffing it down their throat and stuff, you know? And I mean, so if you can be a little more gentle, you'd be surprised when the opportunities are out there. But there are times when you got to say it out loud. You know, I could have just done the Spock thing, you know. You know, and just walk away or something like that, you know. But it's like, I'm sorry, for those of you that ever watched Star Trek, you don't know what I'm talking about. But, all right, but anyways, but those words, that out loud thing, is part of building that person's faith. Them to understand what it is you're talking to God about, it could be the first time they've ever heard anybody talk to God. And so it's a faith builder, right? So there's times Jesus prays out loud. It's not for show. You know, if you're doing it for show, back off, right? You know, we know that sometimes he spent the whole night in prayer. Sometimes he got up early to go pray. You know, over in Luke 6:12-13, it was at this time that he went off to the mountains to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. I remember when I came to Elam Bible Institute, and they had the week of prayer. I went, I'm like, what? You know, and so I thought, they mean they spent a week during which time sometimes we pray. No, they meant they shut down all classes, and for like, you know, 8 hours, 12 hours a day, we just get together and pray. Cool. And I tell you, you know, and so, you know, I showed up. It took me about 10 minutes, and my mind was totally distracted. And you kind of grab a hold of it. You know, and you're just trying to focus that stuff. So, anyways, at lunchtime, I got talking to this one girl, and I said, you seem to be doing better than me. What's you talk to me? You know, she says, well, she says, you know, I get distracted just like anybody else. She says, but if I get distracted by the carpet, she says, I start praying for the people who installed the carpet. I start praying for the people who designed the carpet. I start praying for the people who made the carpet. You know, and so then all of a sudden, I'm not distracted by the carpet. Now I'm distracted by the lights. So I started praying for the people who clean the lights, the people who install the lights. And she says, and after a little while, the devil's been trying to distract me from prayer, decides that distracting me from prayer is only getting me praying more, and so he lays off. And I said, okay, I can buy that. Anyways, but you learn stuff, okay? I'll just say that. But it says that he says he spent the whole night in prayer. And when day came, he called his disciples to him and chose the 12 of them whom he also named as apostles. All right. So first thing I want to point out is that he prayed all night. You're going to see he prays in the morning too. But sometimes when you're praying to prepare. Okay. You know something's coming. And instead of like, you know, walking into the situation totally unprepared and going, oh, hang on, I need about an hour to pray before we do this. Is that okay? I mean, you know, just to say, no, I probably should be prayed up. You've heard this term, you know, prayed up. I should probably be prayed up before I hit the situation. All right? And so he's about to name the 12. All right? And one of the people he has to name, he knows is the guy who's going to betray him. He knew this from the get-go. All right? He knew which one would betray him. All right? And so he had to name that one too. And so he spends all night with the Father praying, gets up the next morning and names these 12. Mark 1:35, early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. We were talking about somebody should always know where you are, right? Well, that apparently is not always true with Jesus. You know, I mean, he'd get up early and just, he needed a place to go and get away and pray. So, preparing, you know, this whole idea about preparing and this connection between empowerment for ministry and prayer. All right, there's I've mentioned before, but I'll just mention one more time that whole series that Costa Dare preached, and one of them was, according to your preparation, be it unto you. And I remember his introductory line was, God never does anything without much costly preparation. You know, now if I'd grown up in Palestine, you know, for most of my life, I could preach like that too, you know, but I'd be kidding. I mean, you know, he's him. But anyways, but I love, you know, this thing, but God, you know, God wants to take us through these times of preparation for what's coming. All right? You gotta live with this what's coming kind of mentality. I don't mean scared of it. I mean, but just this understanding that, you know what? You know, I'm praying for God to give me opportunities to minister to people. I'm expecting them to come. So I should be prayed up and ready. When the situation comes, I should not be hitting that situation. And we all do. So this is not meant to be new. I'm not saying you're naughty. I'm just saying it's instructive here. When I keep hitting situations that I feel unprepared for, this is an indication that God is trying to help me understand you need to be doing more preparation. Okay, you need to be, you're walking into, you know, right? You don't know what you're walking into every day. All right, and so you step into this situation, and all of a sudden, bing, 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 you know, things that you didn't know were going to, but God knew. I mean, that's not where you ought to be. God knows what's going to happen. This is no mystery. Nothing ever catches God by surprise. Oh, man, really? Oh, you know, he's never like that. You and I can be like that, but God never is. He knows what's coming. So there are times when God will take you through times of preparation in prayer or in other things. You know, he may, out of that prayer time, have you with questions that you're thinking, huh, you know, I got to look this up in the Word. And, you know, and I'm driving in, I'm thinking about all this stuff, and a worship song comes to me, so I'm worshiping God. And I step into the situation, and it's like I was made for it. Because I was prepared, okay? I just give you know, when I was in Bible school, for no known reason, other than I was praying and felt like that was what I was supposed to do, I started learning sign language. Now, no application that I could see in sight. We were living in Lima, and you know, there's just not much there. There's lots there, but not a lot of deaf people. And anyways, and so, I don't know, learning this. So I got where I was at Teen Challenge, and, you know, one of the other staff or a couple of them said, hey, what's that stuff you're doing there? I said, well, that's sign language. Oh, hey, can I learn it too? So a bunch of us learned sign language, and one day the phone rings. All right, God knows this stuff's coming, right? So the phone rings, and I pick it up. Hi. My name is such and such. I'm the court clerk from Olean, New York. Okay? She said, I think I already know the answer to this question, but the judge is making me call you, so I'm sorry for bothering you. Well, what's the question? Does Teen Challenge work with deaf people? Funny you should ask. Okay? I send them. Now, we soon found out knowing sign language did not mean you were ready to minister to deaf people, okay? I mean, there's a whole deaf culture issue here that we had to work through, and so we had Emery Dively, if those of you that are ancient from Rochester might remember, but anyways, but just we had different people who came and helped us and everything, but see, it's preparation. See, it's the thing about being prepared. Prayer is part, it's a big part of how God prepares us, because he starts showing us things when we're in prayer. He starts guiding us into things because we're praying, all right, because we're communicating with him. All right, and this empowerment thing, Matthew 17, 19 through 21. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, why could not we drive it out? There's this guy comes with a kid and has got a demon, and they're out there. Jesus is up praying. He comes down, and anyways, and so, oh, goodness, faithless generation, cast it out. Why couldn't we cast it out? First of all, he says, because of the littleness of your faith. Okay, there's a lot of places that God will work on increasing your faith. But I would just say that one of the primary starting points for God to increase your faith for things is in those times of prayer. Okay? He will do it through his word. He'll convict your heart about his word. He'll show you something in his word that you've never really quite applied to this and realized, wow, God has shown me that word that he spoke applies to this situation. You know, or it could apply to that over there, and you start to see things, and so you're building your faith. All right. And then, you know, God also does this in experience, right? Okay, you know, you go out and like the first time. If you got to step out of the water and walk, a little tough, right? You know, but after a while, you start getting a little bit, you know, like we start realizing that works, all right? Like people that would come and, you know, and they were, you know, needing God to help them get free from their drugs or something. Well, I'd never prayed for somebody to get free from the drugs before when I started at Teen Challenge. And anyway, so I started praying for people, and I started seeing God delivering people. Wow. Okay, so prayer, okay, the word, and experience, you know, God building your faith, getting you to the place where, you know, you've heard me give that analogy where, you know, I won't do it anymore. My wife says I can't, I'm not allowed to anymore because in spite of the fact we don't look any older, we are getting older, you know, but I could do this thing where I jump up in the air, lay out flat like this, whoosh, drop to the floor, and stop myself right before my nose hits the floor, all right? And I said, those of you who think that I learned to do that by jumping up in the air and falling to the floor until I learned to stop myself, no. You start with little tiny steps, real close to the floor, and you just keep backing yourself up, and eventually you can do that. Well, faith, you know, is like that. And prayer is one of these things where, you know, you say, well, you don't understand. Please don't ask who's got a prayer life because I'd have to keep my hand down. Start today. Get 5 minutes. You know, tomorrow 6, you know. Next month, you know, get up 15. You know, I mean, just start, you know, building that whole thing with prayer. Talk to God. You know, get quiet before. Part of praying is being quiet sometimes, too. Part of praying can be just, you know, a worship song that goes with what you're praying about. Part of praying could be getting into the Word and actually praying the Word. So anyways, but then finally in this thing, in Matthew 17, 19 through 21, he gets down to this thing. He says, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So in other words, and I started realizing something. If I only fast and pray once I see the challenge, it means every time the challenge comes, I'm not ready. Okay? So I get the one right now. This one's going to take some fasting and praying, and I have to say, hey, next Tuesday, how about, okay? All right? I'm really not at the place where I can do that thing that would require some fasting and prayer to minister. And so of late, you know, I've started taking the first couple of days of the week and saying, those are times that I'm going to fast and pray. All right? I mean, in particular. You can join me. I'm not making it a program. We're not going to have a chart on the wall. You know, it's just, but you know, it's a time around here when I fast and pray. You can fast and pray with me. And if you there's books on in the library that'll help you to understand it, or if you have questions, I'd be glad to answer them. But okay, let's keep moving. Yeah, we're doing good. I'm using the large print version, so I don't always have to have my reading glasses on. But okay, Luke 5 through 17, 15 through 17. But the news about him was spreading even farther. Large crowds were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. And Jesus himself would often slip away into the wilderness and pray. And one day he was teaching, and there was some Pharisees who goes through the whole thing like this. And then finally says, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. Okay? What I want you to understand is that, you know, you want to see more. You want to see God do more? Pray more. You know, get more time. Not as a works in exchange for kind of thing. You know, boy, that's so hard for us, isn't it? You know, to not get into a works mentality on this. It is not saying, I want A, so therefore I need to do B in order to get A. You know, like, so, okay, I paid my dues, where's my stuff? You know, like, Amazon's got a button you can push, where's my stuff, you know? Because it's supposed to come in 2 days, and if it's 2 days and 2 hours, I mean, where's my stuff? You know? This is not what we're doing with God. But it's this thing, I have a team that's going to Ukraine. And I've told them, if you're going to Ukraine, you got to come and get trained. All right? You got to come and get trained to go. Because that's how you'll be prepared. And so this whole idea of being prepared for the thing, you know, and when you're prepared for the thing, that God is likely to show up and do more just because you're prepared. Okay? So this principle of preparation, always be prepared to be used by God. 2 Timothy 4:2, we had this last week. Be ready in season and out of season. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. Okay? And, you know, and I remember when I was being trained as a fighter, the whole thing of being trained as a fighter is you're always ready. Okay? I mean, if a situation arises and somebody's attacking somebody and I have to go, yeah, karate, hang in a minute. Okay, hang on. I mean, by then it's too late. Okay, you're always ready. You know, the term for a karate student is karateka. Karateka, always ready. You know, it's like it's here, you know. It's always right here. You know, it's right, you know, it's, you know, and it's, and why? Because, you know, this thing of being prepared. You know, if you're not prepared, you know, you're going to miss the best opportunities. So Jesus prayed for children. You know, this is all things we're seeing. We're just seeing Jesus, right? Now, as Jesus prayed for, I always wonder what he prayed. You know, I know that he prayed. I know it was important to him. I know that, you know, when the children came, the disciples said, ah, get these children out of here. And he's like, no. Well, and the one, he got angry with them. And I'm not, it probably happened more than once, I'm going for the idea. But one, he got really unhappy. And this one, he's like, no, leave the children alone. Let them come. And he laid hands on them, and then he departed to go somewhere else. All right? But he prayed for children. And I want to tell you something. Children, you know, please take your opportunities and pray for children. We got a whole jar. Did you want some? Or you already got one. All right, okay, you're good. We're all right. Because they're family, you know what I mean? And it's just, it's okay, you got a cough. It's, you know, we're good with that. Yeah, okay. So, anyways, but, so he laid his hands on him. You know, and then you go to this high priestly prayer of Jesus. You know, it's over in John chapter 17. I'm just gonna recite this to you, okay, because it's a very important prayer, because it's one of the longest prayers that we ever have the record of Jesus praying. Obviously, he prayed all night. That would be a whole book of the Bible, I guess. But this prayer that he prays in John 17, and it says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. And now glorify me together with thyself, Father, and the glory which I had with you before the world was. I manifested your name to the men that you gave me out of the world. Yours they were. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything that you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I gave to them, and they have received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that thou didst send me. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but for those who you have given me, for they are yours. And all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may become, that they may be one, rather, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in thy name, and thou hast given them to me. I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So it's referring to Judas. But now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask thee to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. So much of this prayer around this time is around this idea that you are going to be tempted to walk away from God and to walk in the ways of evil. And Jesus is praying that that's not going to be a successful strategy against you. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As thou didst send me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, and they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou didst send me. And the glory which thou hast given me, I have given to them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that thou didst send me and didst love them even as thou didst send love me. Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, may be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou didst love me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known thee, yet I have known thee, and these have known that thou didst send me. And I have made thy name known to them, and will make it known, that the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them, and I in them. You know, that's this prayer that Jesus prays, you know, between the Last Supper and Gethsemane. Right? He's walking through, you know, from this upper room and these streets, and he comes, we think that he probably prayed this, there's this gate that then goes out from there, because you know, you're thinking he probably needed to have a place where his disciples could stand around him rather than in a line behind him, and he probably stopped at one of these gates and prayed this prayer before heading out to Gethsemane, where we know, you know, that he prayed, you know, his last prayers before he went to the cross. And Jesus needed to pray. Jesus needed to pray. If we don't pray, we won't make it. Okay, this is given to us as this wonderful thing that we're being called to. It's a wonderful privilege, but to understand, sometimes at the beginning it's more of a responsibility, but in the end it's a wonderful place of privilege. It's a place of joy. But he goes to Gethsemane, and you know what happens there. Then Jesus came with them in Matthew 26. To a place called Gethsemane. It was a place where there was a wine press, they believe. They think that the name of it even implies that it was a wine press. It was a place where the grapes were grown No, this was an olive press. Olive press, excuse me, not grapes. Olive press. because they went and took the olives from the trees and put them into this press and squeezed out the olive oil. And he said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Okay, so I want you to get this picture for a moment. Okay, you got the crowds. He left them behind. Okay, so they go to the Last Supper. They walk out from the Last Supper. I don't know if they left some people behind or not, but by the time they get this far, I know the 12 are with them, except Judas went out from dinner and he's not there, so there's 11 of them. All right, so he says, I'm going to go pray. So he says, so he leaves behind, let's see, 11 minus 3 is 8. Okay, he leaves behind 8, takes 3 with him, and goes a little further. And then he says, wait here, and then he goes on and prays. And I want you to get a picture. I mean, there are the crowds that believed in him. They're not here. There's the people who followed him. They're here. There's those that were particularly, that had pressed in and were close to him. They're closer. But even at that point, Jesus needs to pray, and he needs to be alone, and so he goes off just a little further. Why didn't he just leave the three back there? You know, I don't know the answer to that question, by the way. Why didn't he just leave the three back there? We aren't told why he brought the three. We just know that these are the ones who went with him to the special occasions. We'll see. They went with him to the Transfiguration. All right, there was these times when those three were the ones. Could it have been four if one other person would have done whatever those three did? I don't know. But there's this principle of 12, 3, and 1. You know, you got this leader and then these people that are particularly close to him. That their stories are a little bit more intertwined with Jesus. And so they're a little bit closer in the story. So he took Peter and these two sons, and he began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. Keep watch. All right? So, you know, we don't do too much of this other than the military anymore, but he wanted people to stay awake and watch and pray. You know, to be awake, to be alert, and to pray while he went and prayed, particularly what he needed to pray. But he had these three who were supposed to watch and pray, but they don't. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. And he came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, so apparently, you know, of the three, there's one. So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Now listen to this. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If you have no other reason for praying, please understand this. That there is a plan to separate you from your faith. There is a plan to keep you from fulfilling the things that God intended for you to fulfill, right? And the way that you'll be pulled away from it is through this issue of temptation, right? You will be tempted. I won't do this, but I mean, if we just all be transparent with each other and just said, okay, what's your temptation? All of us got one. It's not like, well, except for the one guy. Well, let him come up and preach then. You know, but, you know, I mean, we all have things. Jesus was tempted, okay? So please don't allow yourself to be fooled in this idea that somehow you don't have a thing going with some temptations that you have to deal with. You do. And how do you deal with them? Prayer. Prayer is the foundation. Pray. Watch and pray. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, I mean, look at, we all have the ability to, you know, lay hold of things spiritually that then become radically difficult for us to grasp in the practical. All right? And if you're not experiencing that, press into God more, okay? Because there's this little thing that David Edwards used to call the frustration gap, which God is always showing you something more than where you are, you know, and you should be reaching for that. But he says, pray that you don't enter. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done. Again, he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same thing once more. You know, even in Jesus' last prayers, You know, I mean, I think we can be in really good places to lay hold of and to claim the things that God has promised. But even Jesus, even in his best prayers, still prayed, Father, your will be done. You know, to understand, you know, the our frailty, our weakness as we approach prayer and the things we're seeking God for. And so Jesus ends this prayer. He's arrested, and the next time we hear him pray is from the cross. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? In one of the other Gospels, the next time we hear him pray is when he says, it's finished. Okay? One of the other Gospels, we hear him as they're nailing him to the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know? But until he reaches the cross, this is the last that we hear him pray. So what of all this? We must be people of prayer. We must be people of prayer. Right? People who really pray. Okay? That when you get the prayer request, you might feel like I'm too busy right now. Toss one up there right now, you know, and pray later some more. But we need to be people who are people of prayer who actually pray. You know, in some ways, you will be defined by your prayers. In many ways, Jesus was. That's why we have them recorded. That's why we record his prayers. That's why, I mean, wasn't that his private stuff, you know, go in the prayer closet and pray to your Father in secret? Then why do we have his prayers written down? Okay, because Jesus, at least in these ways, was defined by the prayers that he prayed. Okay, because some, you know, you can be a little off in your praying, but pray. Okay, I have prayed for things that didn't happen. Okay, welcome to my world, right? I have prayed for things that happened. Man, I tell you, aren't those the great times? Those times when you know. I remember this guy saying, you need to have a no-so spirit. You know? And there's those times when you know, I'm going to pray, but I know what God's going to do. And I can already see it, you know? But I prayed for things that didn't happen. But I prayed. I prayed. You know, pray, you know? I asked God many times, you know, about things that just, you know, that should have gone better than they did. And the answer comes back. They needed to pray more. More prayer was needed, you know. And when I was used to teach parenting, you know, we'd get through with all this instruction. They said, you can do all this stuff perfectly and fail. And I go, what? Why did I learn all that stuff? I said, because you need to pray. I said, what you're working, but the result you want is a miracle. Okay? And so you're going to have to pray. And I used to say, pray, 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 pray. And then when you get done, pray some more. There is no such thing as too much prayer until God says, get up and go. You know, there are times when God says, get up and go. You say, oh, I'd like to pray just a little while longer. You know, you're trying to avoid actually getting out there and doing the thing that God had for you to do. But prayer, you know, it is the necessary element. You know, it is, we see Jesus praying. So many stories about him praying. In fact, I only took a smattering, really. There's so many more times in the scriptures that we see Jesus praying. I had to kind of summarize it a little bit. But we need to be people of prayer. We need to allow ourselves to be defined by the prayers we pray. You know, we need to reach out, you know, into that, you know, just beyond, you know, with our prayers.
Thanks so much for listening to this podcast brought to you every week by Henrietta Christian Fellowship, located at 1085 Middle Road in Rush, New York. If you have a prayer request or a need, we want you to know that we're here for you. Please send us an email at henriettacf@gmail.com. That's henriettacf@gmail.com. Once again, thank you for listening, and God bless.